And on the line, I've got John Lawson. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
So, folks, we normally talk council issues with John, but we're going to talk, since we have sort of an inside view of the Green Party via John, and the conference is on, we might have a chat about that. All I've seen in the media is about the controversy about, is it Darlene Tanner not wanting to leave Parliament?
Yep, and for some reason that's all that the media's covered, whereas co-leader Chloe Smallbrook, who's the only co-leader at the moment, the other one, Murrumba, being in hospital at the moment, or being treated anyway. So she gave both the key speeches. One was on the effects of neoliberalism in the 1980s and 90s, and how we need to turn that back in order to get past the problems of over-exploitation of the environment, which was brought in by those neoliberal reforms.
So can
the
I
other
just...
one being on the problems of rentals and the lack of rent controls and the inequalities that have also stemmed from neoliberalism.
Mm. Can I just step back to the comments about the media reporting? The media is almost unable to report on... Sometimes to me it feels like it's unable to report on really useful information, always going for the sensationalism. I remember way back when I started doing radio, I was going to interview a guy who it was about genetic engineering. And I remember I'd seen in The Listener a full-page article about him. I thought, that'll be great. I'll use that as a little bit of research. And I went and read it, and there was literally nothing useful in it. That I could use a whole page, a whole magazine page, nothing in it. There'd been some controversy, well, so apparent controversy, and so that's all they talked about. Nothing about actually what happens with genetic engineering. So you, from reading the Herald, the Listener, might as well have been the Herald, the Listener article, you knew GE was an issue, but you literally learned nothing. I mean literal in the very literal sense. There was nothing useful that you could learn. And I think that's reflected again in the reporting on the Green Party conference. I mean, you already knew there was a controversy and the MP wouldn't leave. You're learning about the controversy. We're not learning anything useful about what the Greens actually would do if they were in Parliament and what their policies are. But it sounds like Chloe has been making a speech that's quite radical.
Yeah, I might play some of it on my show this evening. So if people are interested in listening, I'll see if I can fit some of that in.
Yeah. So has she been really explicit about the fact that it's the neoliberal economic settings that are causing both social and environmental issues for us?
Yeah, well, she did a whole speech on it. So 20 minutes or so talking about not much else.
Yeah, yeah. I guess because you're not physically present, you're not kind of aware of what the feeling is. Like I know the media is, as we just said, reporting almost exclusively on the controversy. The members of the Green Party, do you know if they're discussing the controversy much, or they're more focused on what they can get done, what they can achieve?
Well, the main discussion, like many organisations, tends to go on various Facebook pages. And yeah, there's a fair amount of discussion on that, but there's also discussions on lots of other things as well. And there is coming up now this special general meeting that's been organised for the beginning of September. So that's when the speculation that's rather like 2 or 3 years ago when James Shaw didn't immediately get elected as the co-leader. It requires this 75%, so there's a question mark over whether it's going to reach that 75%, because there are increasingly people who are saying, well, we seem to have lost Materia Touré, we then lost Elizabeth Kerry-Kerry, we've lost Gaurisaman, and now we're losing Darlene. So they all just happen to be brown female MPs, and there's sort of a pattern coming there, and some people are saying that really we ought to be looking at ourselves and saying, what's institutional racism look like? Is this it? And whether standards are being applied which other parties aren't applying. I mean, we well know the situation of our national MP, Barbara Corriger, and there have been headlines about her for quite a while, at least there were up until a year or two ago, in connection with animal cruelty and putting pressure on the Ministry of Agriculture and things like that.
Well, she abused her position of power to try and influence bureaucratic decisions, judgments about members of her family.
And the allegation is that Darlene's done the same, but probably to a much lesser extent. Because one of the problems is the actual information available is not all that great, so there's a lot of supposition going on as to what the situation in that bike workshop or bike business was. But one of the things that stood out to me in the report was that her husband had the nickname Chaos on the basis that anything he got involved with got chaotic. as far as I can make out, all the people involved are real bike enthusiasts. And my guess is that they know a lot about derailleur gears and frame sizes and stuff like that. But ask them about employment law and ask them about how to run a business. And I think that sort of muddled along. And I've got the impression that that's where Darlene was coming from. So she might not have been answering questions as a lawyer would like her to answer them, but I'm not sure that she was consciously sort of not telling the truth or not following the law or whatever. So I've got doubts about that as well.
Yeah, so I guess the question, so you've already in all of that given more information than I could possibly have gleaned from the media doing it. And I do want to make a comment about sensationalism. We all know that the media likes to be sensational. That's not a controversial statement. But one of the things about being sensational, if you've ever had that experience where you thought something was controversial and then someone explained it to you and you went, ah, now I understand. And then that sound in my voice, that's relaxing and going, ah, now it all makes sense. I get it. I'm not so worried about it and I'm ready to chill out. And so the media is never going to – there's a preference there to not explain things fully, because if you explain something fully, it loses its controversial, sensationalist aspect. So this is surprisingly...
And another thing which I don't think has come out fully is that the exploited foreign workers aren't people from the Philippines or other Pacific Islands, but they're actually American, which is an unusual use of the term exploited foreign worker.
So you know this, but what the media hasn't actually written this anywhere in any report or spoken.
Oh, the media should have the same report that I've read. So why it isn't reporting these things, I don't know.
Well, that's
available for the public to look at.
That's what I mean about that explains things. You go, oh, it was some American kids who were over, or I don't know how old they were, young people presumably, and that is different. So if they don't put that in, then the feelings of
the bottom of it anyway, because it seems to me that one of the workers was fired and then he was re-employed. And whether somebody is being rather loose with those terms or quite what happened, I don't know. But it seems rather mysterious to me that you fire somebody and then a few months later you take them on to run one of your shops.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think one thing I can say, John, for sure, is we're not going to get a proper explanation out of the media. We're going to get the stuff that makes us react. And I don't know how many times I'm going to have to just say this. I'm going to get a T-shirt that printed it and a billboard that says it. Because people need to understand that we're almost always having our buttons pushed around these issues. Things presented in ways that make us get angry or confused. And it's super frustrating. But coming back to your earlier point of there's four brown-skinned women who've been dispatched from the Green Party for supposedly controversial issues. I thought Gorris did this great interview with John Campbell where she talked about what her life had been like. And that was actually a good piece of media. There was a lot of insight there. And the sheer amount of stress and abuse that she was under was phenomenal. And so, you know, there's a question, is the environment of the Green Party very welcoming to such people, or is it what happens when they enter the public world? that,
well, the
that,
Greens
that's the issue.
Are trying to be absolutely pure and say, you know, we don't do things like shoplifting or putting pressure on Ministry of Agriculture to do things that they shouldn't when cattle have been put down and all this sort of stuff. And yeah, that's great. But then you look at the pressures, which, as you say, are on people like Gowers, which aren't on people like me or other white males. Mm. You start seeing this pattern, which is, to my mind, emerging, that we've lined up for brown females to dispose of in one way or another. And we're not doing the same to other MPs. So it ends up, to my mind, I think there's going to be discussion on this, and it's certainly not a sort of decided trend, but it seems to me institutional racism is what the title of things like that are called, where you apply a set of standards which, yeah, they're great standards, but do they apply equally to every group of people, or are some people subject to more pressures that make them fail on those standards?
I also think
tested on them.
Yeah, and the media is going to have its own right-wing bias because the people who own the media are right-wing, that's going to creep into it as well. And I know people are going to say, oh, but the government owns RNZ and TVNZ. Well, TVNZ is completely dependent on the private sector for its to stay alive, for its income, and RNZ is constantly mocked. They call it red radio because apparently it's communist or socialist, and that's hilarious. It's a kind of stuffy conservative organization, but somehow they cast it as being overtly left wing, bordering on communist. So I'm going to get off the hobby horse here, John. I'm a bit sick of the behavior of the media. I always have been.
We can go on to my favorite subject and talk about bosses.